نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد،
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله.
قد وصلنا في دروس الفقه
We reached in the lecture of fiqh to combining two prayers. We will discuss the role of combining two prayers together.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله الجمع بين الصلاتين. قال يجوز للمصلي أن يجمع بين الظهر والعصر تقديما وتأخيرا وبين المغرب والعشاء كذلك، يعني
or the Maghrib and Aisha prayer
إذا وجد حالة من الحالات الآتية. الجمع بين الصلاتين تقديما وتأخيرا، معنى تقديما يعني أن يجمع بين الصلاتين في وقت الصلاة الأولى منهما.
And the combination or the combining can be done either in the time of the Dhuhr or the time of the Asr, for combining the Dhuhr and the Asr, or for the time of the Maghrib and the time or the time of Asha for combining the Maghrib and Asha.
صلاة لا قبلها ولا بعدها، فجر لا تجمع. وأما الصلوات التي تجمع فهي الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء.
So the salawat that can be combined are
الظهر
and العصر together and المغرب and العشاء together.
وجمع التأخير يعني أن يصلي.
They can be combined in the time of ظهر for the ظهر and العصر or in the time of عصر.
واضح، جمع التقديم أن يصلي الظهر والعصر في وقت الظهر.
So both choices are allowable to combine at the earlier, at the time of the earlier prayer or the time of the later prayer. So one can combine al-Maghrib and al-Asha at the time of Maghrib or combine al-Maghrib and al-Asha at the time of Asha. And the same apply for Dhuhr and Asr.
يعتبر الجمع جمع تقديم إذا صلى مثلا الظهر والعصر في أي وقت من أوقات الظهر.
And the يعني combination is considered an advanced combination if it is prayed in the time of the earlier prayer. So if one combines ظهر and عصر during any time of the time of ظهر, it is considered an advanced combination or an advanced combining of ظهر and عصر. And it is an advanced combining for the whole time of the earlier prayer, either at its first time or at last time.
وصلى الإنسان الظهر والعصر.
So for example,
في الثانية والنصف يعتبر هذا جمع تقديم.
If the time of عصر is at 2:40 and the Muslim prayed the ظهر and the عصر together at 2:30, then it is considered an advanced combining. But if starting from the time of عصر, if he prayed the ظهر and the عصر together, it is considered a late combination.
عذر يبيح له الجمع بين الصلاتين. الأصل أن الصلاة تجب في وقتها لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.
The original thing is that each prayer should be done in its exact time except in special circumstances that we will discuss in this lecture, because Allah سبحانه وتعالى said the prayers are
إذا وجد السبب الذي يقتضي هذه المسلمين. لكن عند عدم وجود هذا السبب يرجع الإنسان إلى الأصل وهو أداء كل صلاة في وقتها.
In the normal cases the Muslim should do each prayer in its normal time. Otherwise there are some special circumstances that we will discuss that allow the combining of the prayers.
كيف هل يترتب شيء على معرفة جمع التقديم وجمع التأخير؟ نعم يترتب على هذا، يعني العمل بهذه الرخصة، إنها رخصة رخص الله سبحانه وتعالى فيها لمن وجد عنده يعني سبب يدعو إلى الجمع. فالإنسان يعرف يعني معنى الجمع ومتى يباح.
Here is a question about what is the difference of combining at the earlier time or at the late time.
يمكنه أن يأخذ بهذه الرخصة. تقديم. نعم. نعم. يعني مزيد من التوضيح يعني والبيان. ما إذا صليت في وقت الظهر فتسمى تقديما وإذا صليت.
The Sheikh said there is no difference and it is not. It is only matter of terminology. If it is combined طيب at the time of the earlier prayer, it's called advanced combining. Otherwise, it's called late combining. But in both cases, they are the same.
والمزدلفة.
The first circumstance
in which the combining الجمع بين الظهر والعصر
is combining the Salah at Arafah and Al-Muzdalifah.
وبين المغرب والعشاء جمع تأخير في وقت العشاء
المزدلفة سنة لفعل الظهر صلى الله عليه وسلم فات عرفة during the performance of
Hajj
and the Maghrib and Isha prayers during the time of العشاء at المزدلفة following the example of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نطبق هنا أن هي السنة
so the Muslims should apply what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did in this situation. He صلى الله عليه وسلم combined the Dhuhr and the Asr at the time of Dhuhr in Arafah and combined the Maghrib and the Isha in the time of Isha in Al-Muzdalifah at the time of Hajj.
وبعد ذلك يعني إذا
so in the day of Arafah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the day of Arafah is the ninth day of the Hijjah. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم prayed al-Dhuhr and al-Asr together in Arafah in the time of Dhuhr or at the time of Dhuhr, and he prayed the Isha and the Maghrib and the Isha together at the time of Isha in Muzdalifah after moving from Arafah.
أو يسكن على بعد أميال قليلة منها. إذا شهد موسم الحج يسن له أن يجمع
and for the resident for the people who are residents near Arafah it is also allowable for them to combine the prayers at this specific day
أو كان من أهل البلد أو من أهل يعني بلدة قريبة فأيضا إن يشرع له أن يجمع. طيب الحالة الثانية
the second circumstance is combining the salah during traveling.
قال الجمع بين الصلاتين في السفر
most of the people of knowledge
جائز في قول أكثر
of the opinion that it is permissible to combine two prayers during the time of either one of them while traveling during the time of either one of them while traveling regardless of whether the person is actually on the road or has stopped at a place from some time.
أسباب أخرى للجمع منها السفر في قول أكثر أهل العلم المذاهب الثلاثة المالكية والشافعية
and this is the opinion of the most scholars
قالوا
المالكية the scholars following الإمام مالك and الشافعي and أحمد they said combining prayers during traveling is permissible for the Muslims
في يعني بلدة من البلدان التي سافر إليها ولم يستوطنها ويتخذها وطنا ولا دار إقامة ولكن نزل فيها يعني مدة وفي نيته أن يخرج منها ويرجع إلى بلده فأثناء إقامته في هذه البلدة يمكن له أن يجمع أثناء كونه نازل أو سائرا يعني في الطريق
the scholar يعني said that it's permissible for the traveler to combine prayers during his temporary stay in a certain place even this stay is long
سافر مثلا الى شيكاغو سيقيم في شيكاغو مثلا 10 ايام او 20 يوم
if one goes to Chicago to stay there for 10 days then during the trip to Chicago it's permissible to him to combine the prayer and also during his stay in Chicago he can also combine the prayer because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did so in both in either his trip or in his stay in his temporary stay in distant places and we'll see that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
50 يوم
in the battle of Tabuk
the trip took 50 days
he went to Tabuk in 15 days and stayed there for 30 days and returned in 15 days.
كان يقصر في الطريق ويقصر كذلك في
and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم shortened the prayers during the whole trip.
بين الصلاتين كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجمع أحيانا أثناء
and he صلى الله عليه وسلم sometimes combined the prayer and sometimes did it in its in their exact times.
الطريق وكذلك في أثناء النزول في البلد التي ينزل فيه. قال فعن معاذ رضي الله عنه
and Mu'adh reports that while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was at Tabuk
إذا زاغت الشمس and the sun had passed
the meridian the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم combined the Dhuhr and the Asr prayers before he started his journey
قبل أن يرتحل يعني عندما
so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في أثناء السفر كان ينزل أحيانا إلى الاستراحة فإذا نزل يعني الاستراحة وبعدين دخل وقت صلاة الظهر.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم while taking rest from the trip, the time of ظهر entered. So he صلى الله عليه وسلم combined the ظهر and the عصر during the trip at the time of ظهر.
يوصل الإنسان السير، فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجمع بين الظهر والعصر تقديمه. وإذا ارتحل قبل أن تزيغ الشمس، يعني لو ركبوا الإبل و. خرجوا قبل زوال الشمس أخر الظهر حتى
if he صلى الله عليه وسلم started the trip before the time of ظهر then he used to delay the combining of the ظهر and
قصد to the time of ظهر إن غابت الشمس قبل أن يرتحل
and also this applies to المغرب and العشاء
وإن ارتحل قبل أن تزيغ الشمس
if he started immediately after sunset then he combined the Maghrib and the Asha at the time of Maghrib but if he started his trip before sunset he combined the Maghrib and the Asha at the time of Asha at the end of the night
ألا أخبركم عن صلاة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم
and Quraib reported that Ibn Abbas said
قال كان إذا زاغت له الشمس
صلى الله عليه وسلم
جمع بين الظهر والعصر قبل أن يركب
he said if the sun
وإذا لم تزغ له في منزله يعني
he would combine the ظهر and عصر prayer
before remounting حتى إذا حانت صلاة العصر
and if the sun had not passed its meridian while he had stopped he would travel until the time of عصر prayer and then he would combine the ظهر and عصر prayer
If the sun set while he had stopped,
he would combine the Maghrib and the Isha prayers. If that did not occur while he had stopped, he would write until the Isha time and then combine them. This is related by Imam Ahmad رحمه الله.
وكان يفعل صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو الأيسر.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to combine the prayers in the easier way to him. So if he started his prayer, his journey before the after the time of ظهر, he combined the ظهر and the عصر in the time of ظهر. And the same applied for Maghrib and Isha. But if he started his journey before the time of ظهر, then he delayed the combining until the time of عصر.
قال والجمع بين الصلاتين بعذر السفر من الأمور المشهورة المستعملة فيما بين الصحابة والتابعين. الجمع بين الصلاتين في السفر مشهور بين الصحابة والتابعين.
Combining the two prayers is something that is well known and was practiced by the companions and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and those who followed him. الإمام مالك
ثم خرج فصلى الظهر والعصر جميعا.
He reported that Mu'adh said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delayed his salah one day during the battle of Tabuk and then went and prayed the ظهر and عصر prayers together. Then he returned and went back again and said the Maghrib and Isha prayers together.
هذا معناه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان نازلا أثناء إقامته ودخل يعني دخل بيته ثم خرج وصلى بهم الظهر والعصر جمعا. ثم دخل بيته ثم خرج به.
During the temple stay of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he prayed the Dhuhr and the Asr late at the time of Asr, and then shortly after that he prayed the Maghrib and the Isha together at the time of Maghrib.
طيب قال وقال أهل السير إن غزوة تبوك كانت في سنة 90.
And
وفي هذا الحديث أوضح الدلائل.
غزوة تبوك was at the ninth year of
migration. قالوا في هذا الحديث أوضح الدلائل وأقوى الحجج في الرد على من قال لا يجمع بين الصلاتين إلا إذا جد به السير.
And this hadith is an evidence that it's allowable for the traveler to combine the prayers even if even in his temporary stay, not only in his trip. So he can combine the prayers either during the journey and in his temporary stay in his destination.
يخرج فيصلي الصلاتين جميعا ثم ينصرف إلى خبائه. قال وروى هذا الحديث مسلم في صحيحه قال فكان يصلي الظهر والعصر جميعا والمغرب والعشاء جميعا.
And Muslim in his book said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray الظهر and العصر together and المغرب and العشاء together during traveling.
ولأن الجمع رخصة من رخص السفر فلم يختص بحالة السير كالقصر والمسح.
Because combining is specific, is a general feature for traveling in general. It is not specific to the state of state of the trip, but he can combine the prayers during his temporary stay in his destination
also. أيضا هذه الرخصة للمسافر سواء ما كان في الطريق أو أثناء إقامته في البلدة التي سافر إليها. طيب قال ولا تشترط النية في الجمع والقصر. ولا تشترط النية.
Here there is no intention required for both combination or combining the prayer, the prayers and shortening.
نية
the intention is not really required.
أنه لا تشترط النية يعني. يمكن الإنسان مثلا أن يصلي الظهر ولا يكون في نيته أنه سيجمع إليها العصر.
And it wouldn't be in your intention that you're going to combine العصر. So combining the prayers shouldn't be a part of your intention, or it's not required at least to be a part of your intention. And this is something that would make it easier for you. You're not required to be attentive to it, or you're not required to pay attention to your intention before you start to combine prayer.
لو دخل في الصلاة ولم يكن ناويا أن يقصرها.
And if you joined the prayer and it wasn't in your intention that you're going to combine the two prayers or you're going to shorten the prayer, it is not required to repeat the prayer because, as we said before, the intention is not really required.
قال الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وهو قول الجمهور من العلماء. قال وهو قول الجمهور من العلماء.
ابن تيمية قال والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
لما كان يصلي بأصحابه جمعا وقصرا لم يكن يأمر أحدا منهم بنية الجمع والقصر.
And that in fact when the Prophet ﷺ left the Medina for Mecca, he prayed two rak'ahs without combining the prayer. And then he prayed the Dhuhr prayer at Arafat without telling the people that he intended to pray the Asr prayer right afterward. So he prayed the Dhuhr and he did not tell his companions that he is going to pray Asr. And the companions behind him did not know that he is going to combine the prayer, which gives us a very, very strong indication. The intention is not really required in the case of combining two prayers together.
صلى الصلاة ركعتين فصلى معه ركعتين وجمع مثلا معها العصر فجمعوا معه العصر ولم يعني يأمرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استحضار
نية الجمع. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did not order them to have the intention in their minds or in their hearts before they would start the prayer.
إلى مكة يصلي ركعتين من غير جمع. ثم صلى بهم الظهر بعرفة ولم يعلمهم أنه يريد أن يصلي العصر بعدها. ثم صلى بهم العصر ولم يكونوا نووا الجمع.
So they prayed العصر together and they had not, they did not have the intention in their minds or their hearts that they are going to combine the prayer together. This is a very strong indication, as we said, that having an intention or a previous intention in your mind or in your heart that you're going to combine the prayers is not really something required.
ثم لما جاء يوم عرفة صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بأصحابه الظهر ثم صلى بعدها العصر جمع تقليد، ولم يقل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه قبل صلاة الظهر إيه استحضروا نية الجمع ونريد أن نجمع الظهر والعصر، لم يحصل هذا. إذن إيه لا يلزم الإمام يعني أو ليس من السنة.
So it is not required for the Imam, for the leader of the prayer, or it's not even the Sunnah to have the intention, and it's not even the Sunnah to tell the people who are going to pray behind him that we are going to combine the prayer. It is okay to tell them, but it is not required. It is not required.
قال وكذلك لما خرج من المدينة صلى بهم بذي الحليفة العصر ركعتين.
Also when the Prophet went from Medina, he led the prayer, he led the people in the prayer, in the Asr prayer, at ذي الحليفة, and he did not order them to make the intention to shorten the prayer.
أول ما وصل إلى ذي الحليفة على بعد أميال من المدينة، وكان يعني ذي الحليفة أول منطقة خارج حدود البلد، فلما وصل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى ذي الحليفة صلى بهم قصرا. ولم يعلمهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل الصلاة.
So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم reached ذو الحليفة, he prayed, he shortened the prayer, and he did not tell them that he is going to shorten the prayer.
هنا يقول يعني إذا لم يعلمهم الإمام أنه سيقصر كيف يعلمون أنهم سيقرؤون التحيات كلها؟
Here is a very good question. The brother is asking if he did not tell them, if the Imam did not tell the people behind them that he is going to shorten the prayer, how would they know that they have to complete the middle tashahud? The middle tashahud. You know the middle tashahud? It's either that you're going to recite the half of it if you're going to complete the prayer, or that you're going to complete all of it and recite all of it if you're going to finish the prayer. So.
شيخ سيف وجد ذات طالت في الوقت المتسع للصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد التشهد الأول فإنه يفعل.
That if they found that the Imam,
قال وأما الموالاة بين الصلاتين
they still can recite the second half of the tashahud, and that the second half of the tashahud actually is not that long, and it's still okay, it is pretty much still okay to recite it after the Imam finished his tasleem.
فاصل بين الصلاتين المجموعتين يعني يمكن للإنسان مثلا لو فرضنا أن وقت صلاة الظهر يبدأ مثلا الساعة 12 مثلا والربع، والعصر مثلا في 2:40 يمكن للإنسان أن يصلي الظهر مثلا بعد دخول وقتها ثم بعد ساعة يصلي صلاة العصر، يعني جاء مثلا إنسان صلى الظهر
الساعة 12 مثلا ونصف. Suppose that Zuhr prayer is due at 12:30 and that Asr prayer is due at 3 o'clock p.m. Can you pray Zuhr and then pray Asr after straight before the Asr time is due? Yes, you can. In our example, you can pray Zuhr in like 1 o'clock p.m. and then probably wait for example for an hour and then pray Asr. And that is considered combining with forwarding. What does it mean forwarding? Forwarding here means that you prayed Zuhr and you forwarded Asr before its time, because the time of Asr was not due yet, but you prayed it before its time. So, and the reason for that is that you're traveling, and things are easy for you. So, you can pray Zuhr, and then after the Zuhr, pray Asr, even though the time of Asr is not due yet. Which is understood. For example, as we said, you can pray Zuhr at 1 o'clock after its time is due, and then pray Asr straight after that, or probably with a separation, like in 1 hour or less than 1 hour, but the point is that you can pray it definitely before its time is due, and this is what's called a combining with forwarding. And the other way around, there is something called combining with delaying
فبعض الفقهاء يعني قال إيه
المؤمنين
جمع التأخير، إذا جمع الصلاتين تأخيرا يعني الظهر والعصر في وقت العصر أو المغرب والعشاء في وقت العشاء.
Combining with the delay means that you're going to pray both the prayers and the time of the second prayer. Like in our example, the Dhuhr was due at 12:30 and the Asr was due at 3 o'clock. In our example, you can, if you're going to combine the prayers with delaying them, you can pray the Dhuhr and Asr, both of them, after the time of Asr is due. Like after 3 o'clock. And there is one very important point too. You can separate between them with a long separation, with a long time, with a long period of time, long interval. Like for example, you can pray the first prayer at 3 o'clock and then the second prayer at 4:30 or 4 o'clock. So you can separate between them with 1 hour as an interval, which is a pretty long time, but you still can separate between them.
الرخصة يعني على الناس، لأنه في كثير من الأحيان لا تتوفر يعني الظروف.
Because in so many cases it is not really available that you can pray both two prayers consecutively. Probably you cannot pray them in a row. You cannot pray them consecutively, and you need some kind of a separation between them to go into something. And they come back and pray the second prayer. And this is from the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala.
ثم أتى المسجد فصلى العشاء جاهز. الإمام الشافعي نقل عنه إيه؟ جواز يعني عدم الموالاة، بس الإمام الشافعي يعني حدد أن يكون الفاصل غير طويل، مثل أن يصلي المغرب.
الإمام الشافعي here said that it's quite permissible for a person to pray the Maghrib in his house with the intention of combining the prayers and then go to the mosque to pray the Isha. A similar statement has been related from Ahmad, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. طويلا
أو قصيرا، لأنه لم ينقل هذا الشرط عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. طيب تكلمنا عن الجمع بعرفة والمزدلفة وعن الجمع في السفر. النوع الثالث من أنواع الجمع
الصلاتين of combining the two prayers and what kind of excuse remaining from the excuses we started so many excuses now. We started the traveling, we started staying in Arafat and staying in Muzdalifa in Al-Hajj, and these are all some kind of excuses. And we still have one more excuse here, which is rain is also an excuse. So we're going to talk about combining two prayers during rain. Al-Athram records in his Sunan or his book that Abu Salama ibn Abd al-Rahman said that it is a sunnah to combine the Maghrib and Isha prayers when it is raining. See, this is the point that actually I think nobody knew about it. I didn't know about it. This very interesting point that it is a sunnah to combine the Maghrib and Isha prayers when it is raining. Al-Bukhari reports that the Prophet combined the Maghrib and Isha prayers on a rainy night. Very interesting. This is pretty new.
وكذلك روى البيهقي أيضا عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما.
A summary of the opinions of the different scholars of fiqh on this point is going to follow here. We're going to talk about the opinions of the opinions of the scholars. The first scholar says that it is allowed for the resident to combine the Dhuhr and Asr, or the Maghrib and Isha, praying each pair in the time of the earlier prayer only, given that it is raining when one begins the earlier prayer, and it is still raining by the time one begins the second prayer. Look at this, it is not that much complicated if you think about it. Al-Shafi'i, he said that you can do it. You can combine the two prayers in the time of rain based on one fact that he said that it should be raining when you start the earlier prayer, and it should be still raining all the time when you begin the second prayer. And you know that you can combine between either Zuhr and Asr or Maghrib and Isha. So the rain, the excuse should be still valid. And the reason Shafi'i went for such an opinion is that the excuse should be still valid. When you start the first prayer, the excuse should be still valid. And when you start also the second prayer, the excuse should be still valid. What's the excuse? That it is raining.
الجمع بين الصلاتين. لكن قالوا طبعا إذا توقف المطر قبل الشروع في الصلاة الثانية فخلاص يبقى زال العذر الذي كان يبيح لهم الجمع. هذا عند الشافعية. قالوا عند مالك أنه يجوز جمع التقديم في المسجد بين المغرب والعشاء
المطر الواقع أو المسجد أو المسجد at the time of the Maghrib due to rain or expected rain. Look at this, underline the word expected rain, because it's different here. He said even due to expected rain, and if there is mud and darkness along the way, or if there is a lot of mud and it prevents the people from wearing their shoes, nevertheless he decides that the Dhuhr and Asr should be combined due to rain.
It's a different opinion here. في المسجد لصلاة الجماعة من باب التيسير على الناس. يعني الناس مثلا اجتمعوا في المسجد لصلاة المغرب.
Why did Malik want for such an opinion? Why did he go for such an opinion? He went for such an opinion, easing the things of people. For example, if you are in the masjid and rain is expected, and you are going to pray Maghrib, but it will be tough on you to come back to the masjid and pray Isha because rain is expected soon. So it's better for you, or it is allowed for you, it's pretty permissible for you according to Malik, to pray Maghrib and Isha together, combined between them in the time of the earlier prayer, which is Maghrib in our example here. And according to Malik, even if the rain is expected, this is different than the fact or different than the condition of Shafi'i. If you remember, we have just mentioned the condition of Shafi'i. Shafi'i said that the first prayer has to be still in rain or during rain, and the second prayer, when you start it, should be also during rain. So rain was a condition to be still going on in the case of Shafi'i or in the Shafi'i school. But the Malik school went for a different opinion. Like we said, and he said that even an expected rain could be an excuse for you to combine the prayers. And look at the excuse here when he said that a lot of mud. We have boats now. We have boats. We can wear boats. We can wear winter shoes or whatever you call it. But at that time, a lot of people were very much poor to the extent that they didn't even have shoes. So he said that when it is muddy and so much slushy outside, or muddy, or whatever you call it, people can combine the prayer if they fear that the mud will get worse, because people at that time sometimes wouldn't have shoes.
يجوز الجمع بين المغرب والعشاء
فقط تقديما وتأخيرا to combine the Maghrib and the Isha in the time of the former or the latter due to storm. Look, this is totally different opinion. Both the first and the second one, both Shafi'i and Malik said that you can combine them in the time of the earlier prayer. The time of the first prayer. But now here, Ahmed ibn Hanbal went for a totally different opinion. He said that you can't combine them in the time of the latter or the time of the second prayer. And what's the excuse here? What are the possible excuses? Possible excuses are snow, ice, mud, severe cold, or rain, which soaks the clothes.
طيب قال وهذه الرخصة تختص بمن يصلي جماعة في مسجد
or this license or this permission whatever you call it is allowed only for one who prays with a congregation in the masjid and who comes from a distance over which he could be harmed by the rain. I mean, do not stay at home and think that you are allowed to do this. This allowance is only applicable to people that come to the masjid. Why? Because they come to the masjid and in their way to the masjid there could be some kind of a harm that would hurt them. So this permission or this allowance, whatever you call it, has been made for them to make things easy for them. But do not go and stay home and pray there and think that you can take these excuses. Actually, these excuses were made for those who come to the masjid or come to the mosque.
قال فأما من هو في المسجد أو يصلي في بيته جماعة يقول أما الإيه إذا كان
however for one who prays in the congregation in his house or whose path to the mosque is covered or protected
أو يمشي
or for one whose house is right next to the mosque it is not allowed to combine the prayer. Do not live next door to the masjid and think that you can combine the prayer. This is also not permissible. This permission, this allowance has been made only for those who are unable to reach the masjid because of the snow or because of mud or because of things like that and so on and so forth. So in that case, they can shorten the prayer and combine them, fearing that the weather will get worse. In the time in the interim or in the time between the masjid between the Maghrib and the Isha. So in that case you can pray Maghrib and the Isha in the time of Maghrib and go home and be protected or sheltered at home from the rain that they could have faced if they waited or if they awaited until Isha or they could have faced if they came again to the masjid for Isha prayer.
يأتي مثلا في سيارة أو يأتي معه مظلة أو كذا
الرأي
الآخر أنه يجوز له الجمع في المطر مع الناس إذا جمع الناس يجمع معه
even if you are coming in a car or coming with an umbrella or under an umbrella protected in a car or an umbrella you still can combine the prayer in the masjid
كان يجمع بين الصلاتين
and the reason for that opinion is that the Prophet ﷺ was combining the prayers because of rain
and
the house of the Prophet
ﷺ
was next door to his masjid or next door to his mosque and you know that there was only one door that used to separate between the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ and his house but even though he would combine the prayers in his masjid the reason for that is that he wanted to talk to teach this sunnah to his companions
سد الابواب الاخرى فكان ابو بكر بانه ايضا يصلي مع الناس
also the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم
يصلي مع الناس في وقت جمع الصلاه
also ابو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه would pray with people at the time of the prayer and in the time of rain combine the prayers together
في مسجد جماعه والجماعه يعني جمعوا الصلاه لاجل المطر يجمع معهم
And there is one other opinion. If you are coming to the masjid and you are not one of those who would get harmed by rain, like these old conditions are not applicable to you in a sense that you are very close to the masjid or you are living next door from the masjid and you are not getting harmed by the rain and you came to the congregation but you found people combining the prayer you should combine it with them because you should always follow what the congregation is doing this is the rule you should always follow what the congregation is doing whatever the congregation is doing you should do like what the congregation is doing if the congregation is combining the prayer combine the prayer with them even if you are not harmed with the rain even if the excuse does not apply to you you still should do what the congregation is doing this is very important
قال أيوب لعله في ليلة المطر الحديث ليس موجودا في الكتاب لكنه موجود في الصحيحين عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه
ابن عباس
عن النبي صلى الله عليه
وسلم
prayed
in المدينة
سبع ركعات وثمانية ركعات
seven
الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء
and eight ركعات ظهر
والعصر ثمانية ركعات أربعة والمغرب والعشاء
المغرب والعشاء these are
المغرب والعشاء
seven
ثلاثة وأربعة تكون سبعة
these are seven
قال أيوب لعله في ليلة مطيرة طبعا هذا يبين لنا
And Ayu, one of the followers, he said that it could be a rainy night.
جمع المطر بعض الفقهاء يقال فقط في المغرب والعشاء وبعضهم قال في الظهر والعصر وفي المغرب والعشاء الصحيح أنه في الظهر والعصر وفي المغرب والعشاء وكذلك أيضا يعني
So it means that you can combine
الظهر
and the عصر or المغرب والعشاء when it is raining
طبعا يعني ليس هناك ارتباط بين الجمع والقصر بعض الناس يعني يحصل عندهم إيه التباس
And listen to this, do not be confused between shortening and combining. Combining does not necessarily mean that you are shortening. You can shorten and combine or combine only. To combine does not necessarily mean that you should also shorten. Unless there is a reason for shortening the prayer. Like if you are traveling.
يشرع له قصر الصلاة.
If you are traveling, you can shorten the prayer.
لابد أن يجمع كل ما يقصر.
Does that mean that you should combine them? It is not necessarily. It's not necessarily meaning that does not necessarily mean that you should combine them. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم during traveling he used to shorten the prayer all the time. It has never been reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم completed one whole prayer during traveling time. But he never combined, not he never combined, but he used not to combine the prayer that frequently during the traveling. So the idea or the point that we're trying to make here is that combining does not necessarily mean that you should shorten, and shortening does not necessarily mean that you should combine the prayers. So the Prophet will sometimes, during the traveling, shorten the prayer and pray each prayer at its time, at its own time. So shortening does not necessitate combining, and combining does not necessitate shortening.
المطر أو المرض كما سيأتي
But if you are doing traveling and you've got the excuse of traveling as well as the excuse of raining, for example, so in that case you can shorten and combine because you've got both of the two excuses, the excuse that would permit you to combine and the excuse that would permit it to you to shorten. You can combine without shortening and shorten without combining or do both. It depends on what excuses you have.
يعني إلى الحالة الرابعة من الحالات التي يباح فيها جمع
Now let's come forth to the fourth case or the fourth condition that would the fourth excuse that would make you combine the prayers or combine two prayers. It is due to some illness or other excuse. So we learn about excuses now four of them. The first one is when you are in Arafat and Muzdalifah.
أئمة الشافعية ذهبوا إلى جواز
The first one is when you are in Arafat and Muzdalifah. The second one is when you are during traveling. And third is when you are combining two prayers during the rain, or the rain is the third excuse, and the fourth excuse is illness or any other excuse.
Here, Ahmed
Qadi Hussein and the Khattabi, and the Mutawalli of the Shafi'i school are of the opinion that it is allowed to combine two prayers either during the time of the earlier or later prayer due to illness as it is a greater hardship than rain, because illness is greater hardship than rain. And now we say that this is strong opinion based on a sound evidence.
المغني,
المغني is one of the greatest books in المغني, it is stated that the illness which permits one to combine the prayers is the one which would otherwise cause hardship and more weakness. If he prayed each prayer separately, this is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the easiness of that religion that if someone is sick or ill to the extent that if he prayed complete prayers, it would worsen his case, so he can combine the two prayers in the time of the earlier prayer.
فهذا نوع من المرض فدل هذا على أن بالإضافة يعني إلى
What kind of
العذر المرض أقوى من العذر
water or with fluids or whatever if they put water in their like if they have a skin disease or
يجوز للمريض
any kind of skin disease that would
would prevent them from pouring water on their bodies somehow, or would make water with their bodies very much sensitive against water.
In that case,
doing a lot of wudu is not very much good to them. So in that case, you can combine the prayers to listen or to decrease the number of times you would go to water and to wudu. That could be one of the reasons we're saying, but there could be other reasons as well.
فأجاز الحنابلة الجمع تقديما وتأخيرا لأصحاب الأعذار
accommodating as it allows one to combine two prayers at the time of the early or the later prayer for one who is ill as well as for the woman who is breastfeeding and will face hardship in cleaning her dress for every prayer. For the woman who is plagued by a prolonged flow of blood, and for the woman or for the person who cannot control his urine, and for the one who cannot purify himself or herself, and for the one who fears for his life, property, or family, these are all excuses that would let you combine your prayer. If there is a woman who is breastfeeding and she doesn't want to go through the hardship of cleaning her dress every now and then and every time she goes to prayer so she can combine the prayers. If there is a woman who is plagued by a prolonged flow of blood in her menstrual course or for whatever other reason, in that case she can also combine the prayers. If there is a person who is unable to control his urine, and this is may Allah protect us from this disease, if it is sometimes a common disease in some countries, in that case he can also combine the prayers because he cannot control his urine, so he cannot control the validity of his or the expiration of his wudu. So in that case he can go for one wudu and combine two prayers. Or if there is someone who cannot purify himself or herself, or if there is someone who fears on his life or for fears for his life, property or family, like for example there is a battle coming to the field where he lives, or whatever reason that could be practical that you could think of that would prevent you from praying each prayer at a time. So in that case you are pretty much allowed to combine the two prayers. Said that among the opinions, the most accommodating on this question is that of the Hanbali school, which allows one to combine the prayers if he is busy, since An-Nasa'i has related something to the effect from the Prophet ﷺ, and they also say that the cook and the baker and so forth may also combine their prayers if they fear their work. Their or what they are working on will otherwise be ruined. What does that mean if you are a baker or if you are working as a cook and you are cooking and you fear that whatever you're cooking will go will get ruined or will be burned if you do not pay attention to it? So in that case you can combine the prayer and pay attention to your work or pay attention to your food that is being cooked. So there are some excuses that would allow you to combine the prayers based on the fact that these excuses have really to be valid. They have to be valid. Brother, he's asking a question. He's saying, what's the relationship between the breastfeeding and washing or cleaning a dress?
Sheikh says that sometimes some milk leaks on the dress or drops on the dress while the woman breastfeeds her child. So in order not to make her go through the hardship of cleaning her dress every time she breastfeeds her baby, so she can go for combining a prayer and then breastfeed her baby. And this is again from the easiness of that religion.
مشوار ضروري أو عنده مثلا شيء يعني
Also look at this is very interesting. If you have a very much important errand that you have to run, if you are going somewhere very much important, and if you are going for an appointment that is very much important to you, and if you don't attend it, you'll be harmed. Or if you are very, very much exhausted, and you are needed to combine the prayers because of a mandatory rest that you have to take. You can do it based on the fact that you should be really thinking that you should be really appreciating it the right way and you should be really in need to that. You shouldn't take that easy. It was made easy for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you should not think of it as an everlasting license. It is a license as long as you need it. Do not think of it as something that you should do.
So and this is the fifth excuse
here says combining two prayers due to some pressing need, a need which is very mandatory, something that would make you in a great need to combine the prayers. As we mentioned earlier, a very much mandatory appointment that you cannot pass or not miss, something that you cannot miss because it would harm you, an appointment, an errand that you have to run. If you are extremely exhausted, as we mentioned, and you are in need to a very much instantaneous kind of arrest, that otherwise you're going to fall faint or whatever.
قال ويؤيد
ظاهر قول This is the statement of Ibn Sirin and Ashhab from the companions of Malik and Al-Khattabi records that it is from Al-Qifal and Al-Shafi'i and from Abu Ishaq Al-Maruzi and from a number of Ashab al-Hadith or the tellers or the narrators of al-Hadith, and it is the conclusion of Ibn al-Mundhir. This is the statement of Ibn Abbas that the Prophet ﷺ combined his prayer because he did not want to put his ummah to hardship and not because illness or any other reason. The hadith from Ibn Abbas mentioned previously has been recorded by Imam Muslim who states that the Prophet ﷺ combined the Dhuhr and Asr and then the Maghrib and Isha in Medina without there being any danger or rain. Ibn Abbas was asked, what did he desire by that action? He replied, he did not want any hardship for his ummah or for his nation. Al-Bukhari and Muslim record from him that the Prophet prayed 7 rak'ahs and 8 rak'ahs, which means Al-Dhuhr and Al-Asr together and Al-Maghrib and Al-Asha together in Medina, that happened in Medina. Muslim also records that Imam Muslim also records from Abdullah ibn Shaqiq that Abdullah ibn Abbas addressed the people one day after the Asr prayer until well after the sun had set and the stars began to appear. The people said to him, the prayer, a man from the tribe of Taym continuously repeated the prayer. Ibn Abbas said, are you teaching me the sunnah? It's not right someone tell up Ibn Abbas like that. So he said, are you teaching me the sunnah? May you have no mother. Then he said, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined the Dhuhr and the Asr and the Maghrib and Isha. Abdullah ibn Shaqiq commented, I felt some uneasiness in my heart about what he had said. So I went to Abu Hurairah to ask him about that, and he confirmed what Ibn Abbas said. He is Ibn Abbas, one of the most
One of the most learned people, one of the most learned people, and one of the people who took the knowledge directly from the Prophet from the great companions.
فجعل الناس يقولون الصلاة الصلاة.
So Ibn Abbas did not pray in Maghrib. Ibn Abbas did not pray in Maghrib, and he was lecturing them, and the people kept on telling him the prayer, the prayer, the prayer, the prayer, and he wasn't paying attention. So one man from a tribe called Bani Tayyib came to him.
ولا ينسني الصلاة الصلاة.
He told him the prayer, the prayer.
الصلاة
the prayer, the prayer, the prayer. So Ibn Abbas.
لا يفطر ولا ينسني.
Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas,
told him,
Ibn Abbas got angry, and he told him, are you teaching me the sunnah? Are you teaching me the sunnah? May you have no mother. And this is some kind of common upset word, whatever you call it, or a common swear word. They used to use these days. Common upset swear word that they used to use these days. May you have no mother like that.
قال عبد
it's
الله
like your mother dying, something like that.
فحاك في صدري من ذلك شيء.
Abdullah ibn Shaykh, one from the tribe named Abdullah ibn Abbas, wanted to warn Abdullah ibn Abbas, left a little bit doubting about this, so he doubted about this, and he felt some uneasiness in his heart about what he had been told by Abbas. So he decided to go to Huraira to ask him about that thing, so Huraira confirmed to him that he had said. And we all know that Ibn Abbas is the one who got the knowledge from the Prophet and the great companions.
الحديث في صحيح مسلم. فإذا يعني ثبت أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جمع بين الظهر والعصر وبين المغرب والعشاء من غير عذر. وفي الرواية الأخرى قال إيه أراد ألا يحرج أمته. أراد ألا يحرج أمته يعني السبب في هذا ليرفع الحرج عنه. إذا يعني خلاصة هذا الموضوع أنه يجوز الجمع.
So the point here is that you can combine the two prayers.
ألا يتخذ ذلك
for a reason. In one condition, that you shouldn't take that as a habit. You shouldn't take that as a habit. It should be for an excuse or a valid reason.
والجمع في السفر والجمع في المطر والجمع في المرض والجمع للحاجة. لكن في حالة الجمع للحاجة يكون بدون يعني بدون أي
مفتاح.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله قال فائدة قال في المغني رحمه الله قال وإذا أتم الصلاتين في وقت الأولى ثم زال العذر بعد فراغه منهما قبل دخول وقت الثانية أجزأته ولم تلزم الثانية في وقتها.
Of combined prayers after the legal excuse case to exist. What does that mean? We learned that rain, for example, was one of the excuses, or is one of the excuses supported the rain stopped before you start the second prayer. What would be the case here? Let's see. In Al-Mughni is one of the great books. It is stated that if someone performs both prayers at the time of the earlier prayer, and then his reason for doing the combining ceases to exist after he has completed the prayer and before the time of the next prayer begins. In that case, what he has done is sufficient for him, and he need not repeat the prayer, the second prayer at its proper time. Since he performed the prayer in the proper manner, he is free from any extra obligation due to that action, and he fulfilled his obligation during the circumstance in which he had some legal excuse, and his action is not invalidated by the fact that his excuse no longer exists. This is similar to the case of a person who performed tayammum, and after he finished the prayer, he finds water. So, for example, if you are a traveler and you travel from one city to another, and you combine and shorten the prayer
before you travel, or I mean, as soon as you started traveling. And then you entered your destination before the time of the second prayer starts. Does that mean that when the time of the second prayer comes, should you again pray the second prayer? No, no, you're not required to do so, because of one single thing, because of the fact that you prayed the first and the second prayer according to a bad excuse at their time. According to a bad excuse at their time, or at the time of the excuse. So you're not required to repeat the second prayer when your excuse ceases
to exist.
And as the author here says that there is a typical example or a typical evidence that, for example, if you are out of water, you don't have water. If you're out of water and you don't have water, and you cannot find water anywhere, then you should go for tayammum or dry ablution. Suppose that after you did dry ablution and you prayed, you found water. Are you required to do wudu with water and repeat the prayer? No. Why not? Because you did the tayammum at a time when there was a valid excuse. So that valid excuse validates your prayer and was not invalidated. And even being ceased, having that excuse ceased later on, does not mean that it
فعن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال سئل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن
الصلاة قال صل فيها قائما إلا تخاف الغرق. A prayer on a ship, train, or a plane is valid, and there is not a strike for such an act as it makes life easier for one performing it, for the one performing it. Ibn Umar said that I asked the Prophet about prayer on a ship, and he said, pray standing upon them unless you fear that you will be drowned. This is related by Darqutni and by Hakim. The later grades that Sahih according to the criteria of Bukhari. Abdullah ibn Ubay, Abdullah ibn Abi Utba reports that I accompanied Jabir ibn Abdullah and Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and Abu Hurairah on a boat, and they prayed standing in a congregation with one of them as their imam, although they could have gone ashore.
وأبا سعيد الخدري وأبا هريرة رضي الله عنهم في سفينة فصلوا قياما في جماعة أمهم بعضهم وهم يقدرون على الجد. الجد بضم الجيم أي الشاطئ.
They could have went to shore. They could have went to the shore and prayed there, but they didn't do so. Why? Because they had a license. They had an excuse. They had the permission from the Prophet ﷺ to pray on the boat.
لكن صلوا قياما وهم يرون الشاطئ وهم يقدرون على الجد يعني كانوا يسيرون بمحاذاة الشاطئ ويمكنهم أن ينزلوا من أن يعني يخرجوا إلى الشاطئ لكن إيه لم يفعلوا صلوا جماعة قائمين في السفينة والشاطئ قريب منهم هذا يدل على التيسير في هذا الأمر المسافر إذا كان يستطيع أن يصلي قائما في وسيلة السفر لا يحتاج إلى النزول عنها والصلاة في الطريق لكن إذا كان يعني هذه الحالة تختلف عن حالة مثلا الإنسان إذا كان في السيارة وإذا صلى في السيارة سيصلي جالسا وإذا نزل منها صلى قائما يبقى هنا إيه ينزل منها ويصلي قائما.
This case is different here from the case of praying in the car, because praying in the car is not like praying in a boat. You cannot take off from the boat and pray on top of the water. There is no way to do that. But you can take off from your car and pray on the floor or on the ground. You can pray on the ground pretty much well. So if you are in your car, you have to take off from your car and pray on the ground. It is different than the case of praying on the boat. This is whatever I got to do with combining the prayer. And we're looking for questions now. Anybody has a question? The brother is asking a question that we learned that it is not really required or it's not a condition to have an intention of combining the two prayers in the case of forward combining. But is it really required to have the intention in the case of delay combining?
نعم تشترط النية ولكن هذه نية أخرى غير مسألة نية الجمع بين الصلاتين وقت أدائهم. المقصود أن الإنسان إذا دخل وقت صلاة الظهر حتى لا يعتبر الإنسان تاركا للصلاة فإن الإنسان لا يعني لا يخرج الصلاة عن وقتها إلا إذا كان نويا جمعا. وأنت لم تصلي الظهر في وقتها حتى خرج وقتها.
Like for example,
ما الفرق بين تارك الصلاة
والظهر؟ Like for example, the Zuhr prayer is due and you have not prayed it yet, but you don't have the intention to combine the two prayers in the time of Asr. And then when the time of Asr becomes due, you think you would combine the two prayers. No, this is not valid. You should have the intention of combining before the Zuhr is due or when the Zuhr is due. Because if you don't pray the Zuhr at the time and you don't also have the intention to combine them, the two prayers, that means you're deserting the prayer.
Simply,
you should have the intention of combining.
بعدين بعد فترة تصلي مثلا العصر فيما بعد. تفضل.
Brother here is asking a very practical question. He says that sometimes here in Minnesota, Aisha prayer is very much delayed to the extent that it goes to 11 o'clock or 11 something o'clock in the night, and people are required to sleep early to go to work in the morning. Is that an excuse to combine the Maghrib with Aisha? Sheikh says, no, this is not an excuse. This is not an excuse. If you prayed Maghrib when Maghrib is like 9 something, it is not that much difficult for you to wait for like 1.5 hours to pray Aisha.
Brother is asking,
in the excuse, in the case of the excuse of rain, should that be a very heavy rain or just drizzle, for example? The Sheikh says here the scholars said that it is the kind of rain that would wet your clothes. Not drizzles. Drizzles would not wet your clothes. We're talking about rain that would wet your clothes. Rain that would wet your clothes. And if you are going to pray congregational prayer in the masjid and you are afraid to come back to the masjid, you will be soaked. In that case, you can combine the two prayers. And also, the mud applies to that, the slush, the very bad or severe cold, the inclement weather, like they call it. The brother is asking a very funny question. He asks if it is okay to combine the prayers for the excuse of sleeping. Sheikh says that goes under the excuse under the excuse of a pressing need. If you are under very much severe tiredness, you are extremely exhausted and you are afraid if you do not sleep right away, you're going to faint. So in that case, you can go and pray, combine prayers or combine the two prayers, and that should not be a habit. That should be for something that happened very occasionally, or it should be something that happened very occasionally. It should not be a habit. You should not develop it as a habit. Can we combine Asr with Maghrib? Sheikh says no, we cannot. You can combine only Dhuhr and Asr or Maghrib and Isha, but you cannot combine Asr with Maghrib.
العصر مع المغرب لا يجوز.
No, you cannot combine عصر with مغرب.
نعم أحسنت. عند
very good question.
جمع الصلاتين يعني
can we combine
صلى الناس جماعة وجمعوا بين الصلاتين فتكون بأذان واحد وإقامتين.
If the congregation are combining two prayers, what kind of adhans and iqamas will we have? We'll have one adhan and two iqamas.
one adhan, one adhan and the two iqama. One adhan and two iqama. How? You do one adhan and then iqama for the first prayer and then finish it and then iqama for the second prayer.
نعم اخونا يسأل في حاله جمع التاخير اي الصلاتين نبدا بها ونصلي بالتاول كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
يجمع المغرب والعشاء في الوقت الذي the one that we have delayed. Sheikh said that in that case we start with the one that we have delayed and then the second one. We have to keep the order.
بالنسبة لصلاة السنن في السفر
سنة in traveling, يعني what about the sunnah prayers in traveling?
أولى أن يواظب الإنسان في السفر على سنة الفجر.
The priority of sunnahs in traveling is that you should pray or you should try to be
actively
praying the sunnah of the fajr. And
يعني لم يكن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يواظب عليها في السفر. الأفضل الإنسان يواظب على
the sunnah of the fajr and the witr. Other sunnahs you're not required really or not, you're not obliged to pray. Only the sunnah before the fajr and the sunnah, the last prayer or the witr, the one single rak'ah that you pray finally before
you.
Brother is asking about rain when it is considered an excuse. Sheikh says that it is considered an excuse in case you are going to pray the congregation in the masjid. And it means that when you come to the masjid and you fear that when you go back there will be a lot of rain and that rain will wet your clothes or soak your clothes and make it very much uneasy for you to come back. So in that case you can combine the prayers in the masjid. A brother is asking a nice question here. If you are traveling from here to a country that has 8 hours difference between you and there, you're coming from west to east, from here to Japan, or from here to any country, from here to Middle East, where there is a difference of 8 hours, which country should you follow its schedule, a prayer schedule? Like you stay, for example, in the airport for 12 hours, but you do not attend any time. Like, for example, you take off from there. Let's say that you take off from Egypt, for example, in the time of Fajr. And you come here, you find that Dhuhr prayer has still not yet been prayed. It's still not yet been prayed, or it's still not yet due. But all the prayers you have missed according to the schedule of your country, or according to the schedule of your origin.
كما ذكرنا نصلي على حسب حاله اذا استطاع ان يصلي قائما فعال.
Sheikh says that you should pray the prayers with appreciating the time of the prayer or try to estimate the time of the prayer when you are in the aircraft and try to estimate the time of the prayers according to your country and pray them.
نعم اخونا يقول يعني هل يجوز اتخاذ جزء من البيت يتخذ مسجدا يعني خاصه.
Brother is asking, can we take a part of the house and make it as a masjid and make it as a mosque? Sheikh says yes, and it's even a part of the sunnah. The companions, most of the companions liked to have parts of their houses to make mosques. Like one of the companions used to be blind and he wanted to build or make a small mosque in his house. So he invited the Prophet ﷺ and he wanted the Prophet ﷺ to pray in that place to bless it and make it the first place and be the first one who prays in that place. And that companion after that considered that place as a masjid and he used to pray in that place as a masjid and he used to invite people or he used to get the people to pray there as a masjid.
Also
the woman can allocate or specify or one of her one of
the areas in one area inside her room.
نعم.
Then make it as a mosque.
أخنا يسأل لو إنسان حدد غرفة في بيته اتخذها مصلى. هل هذا يعني معناه أن يترك الصلاة؟
Brother is asking if I make one room at my house as a mosque. Does that make an excuse for me not to go to the mosque? If you are going to build a masjid for people to come to you and visit that masjid and make it open for the public so that people will pray in congregation, then yes, it's okay. But not to pray in that place alone and call it a masjid. In that case, you're required to come to the masjid of the congregation. The idea behind the masjid is the congregation.
لكن طبعا الا في حاله بقى اذا كان مثلا بيت يعني واسع
except if it is
يعني عنده غرفه
in a case where a house is very much wide, very much big, to the extent that you can assign one full room and open one door in that room for people to come in public, like people to come and pray in congregation in that room, then it is really something nice. Make an open door for the people, for the public to come in and pray in that room, because your house is very much big and you can afford that, then it is very much nice. You'll take a lot of good deeds.
أن إنسانا يعني دخل في الإسلام وكان جنبا نعم يبقى عليه أن يغتسل
if a person embraced Islam and he was junub before he embraced Islam then yes he has to wash and if he was not junub
غسل الإسلام مستحب فقط يعني ليس
it is not obligatory he is not obliged to wash after he embraces Islam But it is liked. It is something liked. It is something good. If you embrace Islam, it is something that is liked to wash. If you did not wash, then you are not obliged to.
I have an unrelated question. Okay.
تفسير الآية. أنا أسأل عن تفسير الآية الكريمة رب المشرقين ورب المغربين.
Brother, he's asking about an explanation of a verse.
طبعا هذا الموضوع جاء فيه في القرآن الكريم ثلاث آيات.
The God of the two
آية رب المشرق والمغرب.
There are
والآية الأخرى رب المشرقين ورب المغرب.
One of them says that Allah is the God. There are actually three verses. One of them, the first of them is saying that Allah is the God of the east and the west, and the second is saying that Allah is the God of the two easts and the two wests, and the third is saying that Allah is the God of the east and the west. How can we gather between the three of them? Here, the meaning is that the sun has east and west every day. The sun comes from one east and goes onto one west every day. And the second day, there is a difference in the easting and the westing from the first day. Like in the second day, there is a difference from the first day in the sense that the sun does not come from exactly the same place. It comes from a place that has a shift from the first place. And it keeps on doing that until it takes one full cycle through 1 year. So these are the east and the west. And the two east and the two wests are the most extreme east in the summer and the most extreme east in the winter because the sun comes from east in the summer in one point until it reaches another point by the end of the summer. These are the two easts. And it goes on to west in one point with the beginning of winter and it ends with another point at the end of winter. These are the two wests. And when we say that Allah is the, when Allah says that He is the God of the east and west, He refers to the east and west that we know, the directions.
Allah, أنا لم أطلع على هذا التفسير. التفسير هذا هو المشهور يعني موجود في كتب التفسير. في الجمع بين الآيات والله أعلم. تفضل. نعم. لو أن شخصا يعني
He does not know how to recite the Fatiha. And in the time of the Prophet, even some Arabs, some nomad Arabs, would not be able to recite some verses. So that would make the obligation fall. So the obligation is there for only those who can do. But those who cannot, the obligation does not apply to them. If a person is trying as much as he can to make his prayer correct, that will make his prayer correct. We called enough for tonight. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.